ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Even at low speeds, if you have a car crash and you're a woman, you're more likely to be seriously injured than a man. But interestingly, car crash testing and plane safety testing is dominated by male, in inverted commas, crash test dummies, and it has been for decades. The dummies are part of a system of testing methods designed with men in mind, and it's been letting women down. In a moment, you'll hear from a former airline pilot who is researching plane and car safety, but tell me your take as well. When you buy a car or you're choosing an airline to travel on, how much are you thinking about safety? With me is Natasha Heap, Program Director of the Bachelor of Aviation at the University of Southern Queensland. Natasha, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
What is the difference between a male and female crash test dummy?
At this stage, not much.
Okay.
At this stage, for both car and aviation safety testing, we focus on this mythical creature called an average male. He's 175 centimetres tall and about 78 kilos. And that's what everything is used for testing. Now, some car manufacturers are claiming that they're using a female crash test dummy. She's, they call her the fifth percentile. So she's a lot smaller than the average male, being a 50th percentile, but she is essentially a scaled down version of the male. They're using what a male is and making him smaller and calling her a female.
Why is that not appropriate?
Well, men and women are different, not just in how our brains work, but just physiologically as well. Most of us will recognize, in particular, our pelvis is different. You know, the female pelvis is wider and more open to help us have babies, yeah? Men have bigger, heavier skeletal system. They have more muscle mass. And even when we compare a man and a woman of the same height, their mass distribution of their muscles is different. Everything is different about us. One thing, and when it comes to car safety in particular, is the female ligaments are a lot more lax, looser than males, which is why we're more likely to suffer from a whiplash injury in our neck.
I'm thinking about, as you're talking, I'm kind of visualising that slow motion car crash scene where your whole body kind of morphs and gets thrust forward with the impact. No one likes to think of their own body going through that. But when you're thinking about the violent forces on a body, you really sort of see suddenly why those little changes can translate to big difference in injury rates.
Absolutely. And at the moment, women, we're considered to be out of position drivers in a car. Because we're a different shape and size to the male, our limb lengths, our arms and legs, are actually shorter compared to our body than a male. So we have to sit closer to the steering wheel so we can reach everything. But because of that, we're considered out of position, and that's why we're getting injured more often in a car accident.
Humans are pretty diverse in the way their bodies are shaped and sized. Like, I'm thinking you describe the weight and proportions of the male crash test dummy, and the woman's a smaller version of that. There are a lot of women who are bigger than that. There are a lot of men who are smaller than that. How much does, we're talking about sex differences here, but are people who are well outside that average also at higher risk of being injured in accidents?
Absolutely. That's a great point. You know, the population with the tallest people is in the Netherlands, and their average is 184 centimetres for males. So that is vastly different to what cars are tested for. So you're absolutely right. This lack of diversity in testing for safety really is this data gap, a glaring data gap, I would say, that hasn't been addressed yet.
So what do we have in terms of data? How did we start using crash test dummies in the first place?
Well, crash test dummies started in the 1940s, and it was an aviation invention to test ejection seats for military aircraft. And then the automotive industry took them up in 1966. And they were created so that we didn't have to use real people to check the impact on that. At the moment, though, we're just using male data. Now, you might have seen over the weekend or early this week, NHTSA in the US, that's the National Highway Transport Safety Authority, has come out with this huge announcement saying, oh, we're going to be using a female crash test dummy. And I first read this, I'm like, oh, well, I've missed the boat with my research. But when you look at the dummy there claiming to be a female, she's the Thor fifth percentile. So she's tiny. She's 140 odd centimetres tall and 40 odd kilos, like a 12-year-old girl. She does have a female pelvis. So this is great for seatbelts. Except when you look into the research about how she's been designed, her biofidelity, which is a word meaning how we make the plastic and metal dummy react like a human form, all that data has come from how males react to an impact. So while she might have a female body shape and size, a very tiny one at that, she's not going to behave the same way as a female would. So we're still, there is still this massive data gap. The research around her states that there is no data, so we're just going to use male data. So my question is, can't we start collecting some female data?
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Natasha Heap, who's the Program Director for the Bachelor of Aviation at the University of Southern Queensland, talking about the lack of good data we have on how different types of bodies respond in crash situations, a situation you never hope to find yourself in, but you would hope that if you ever were to find yourself in it, that you would be as protected as you could be. And I'm wondering if you think about safety when you're buying a car or choosing an airline to travel on. You can text me on 0418 226 576. Andrew says, when I studied for my master's degree, we were set a perception test. We were asked to rate what we thought were the most important factors for passengers when flying on aircraft. To our astonishment, the most important factor was clean toilets, followed by arriving on time and arriving safely. In that order, it shows how safety is often assumed because people like you are doing research like this. Natasha, tell me about the research you're working on at the moment.
Well, my PhD is really focused on cabin crew safety. Cabin crew has a population predominantly female. 84% of the world's cabin crew are female. And I was really interested in how the design of the system, the ergonomics, and how those female cabin crew are sort of fitting into their system. And from that, I sort of opened up this Pandora's box of crash test dummies and seat design and seatbelt design and whether it fits us all in aviation safety. And there is some significant gaps there.
When do you hope to have some answers?
Hopefully soon. Yeah, hopefully soon. I'm thrilled that the Flight Attendant Union in Australia is really keen to support this research. So it's great to have some buy-in from the people that it will be directly impacting.
Directly impacting, hopefully not in literal terms.
Yeah, poor choice of word.
Natasha, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Natasha Heaps, the Program Director of the Bachelor of Aviation at the University of Southern Queensland.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.